welcome to this week's episode of MCW Fancast. My name's Emma, thanks for listening. This week's episode is a little bit different than usual, as we haven't got that much to talk about this week because there hasn't been no games for Man City women and there hasn't been much news in the international break. So we thought it would be a great opportunity to welcome back Dan Pentland to the podcast. He runs the FAWSL full-time magazine and he knows his stuff when it comes to the WSL. So it's always great to chat to him. We spoke about quite a lot of different things, to be honest, from WSL to the Championship League to the World Cup, obviously this summer in France. Got his views on a few different things as well. So I hope you enjoy it. I fully enjoy, always enjoy speaking to Dan. So I hope you enjoy it too. Hi Dan, thanks for joining me on this week's podcast. How are you doing?
Yeah, hi, I'm not bad, thanks.
Very good. So we're back at it then this weekend after the international break. Not really much to talk about on the international front as preparations for the Women's World Cup has got underway. Pretty exciting though, looking ahead to the competition this summer in France.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Yeah, hoping to go out there for a few games.
Are you doing it group stages or are you looking towards the end of the competition?
I think I want to fit as many games in as possible, to be honest. So I think the magazine's basically going to cover as many of the Super League stars out there. So, you know, we'll try and take in England games where we can.
So the big one, probably Scotland, England.
Yeah, could well be. by no means an easy game, that neither for England, to be honest. Because, Scotland, obviously, it was 6-0 in Holland, just, you know, 2017. But... Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, Scotland had a lot of injuries and, you know, I think Jen Beattie obviously was one of the players missing, you know, for that game and I think she missed the full tournament. So, mm-hmm. You know, they'll have a few players back. Obviously, they've had their camp, you know, in January as of England. Mm-hmm. And I think preparations are just coming on steady for them. So, you know, it could be a tougher game that for England this time round.
Yeah. The draws in general, though, for the groups are pretty tough. Each group,
yeah,
really.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I think we saw in the Euros, to be honest, there wasn't much in it. I mean, they say that the Euros are stronger than the World Cup in terms of, you know, the level of competition. Obviously, you've got the big hitters, the likes of, you know, USA, Canada, probably the Japanese out there at the World Cup as well. But, you know, maybe the level of competition overall of the Euros is maybe a little stronger. But the World Cup, if you make it to the latter stages, really, you're going to come up against some pretty big sides.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the World Cup and preparations, she believes Cup could really prove a good test for England with the teams that are participating in that this year.
Yeah, I think we saw last year. I think obviously England went over to the USA last year for Phil Neville's, you know, I think it was his first few games in charge. And they, you know, they acquitted themselves really well, really. And just a couple of little individual errors probably cost them from winning the tournament. So, you know, I think they'll go there with plenty of confidence. There is a few question marks about the recent friendlies and, you know, what's changed under Phil Neville's, leadership, if you like. There's still a lot of questions, but we have got a lot of good attacking players, you know, both at Manchester City and across the Women's Super League as well, mm-hmm. You know. So if we get it right in attack, there's no reason why we can't, you know, do really well in the summer.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she believes could be perhaps seen as a bit of a benchmark as to where we'll be at in terms of team selection, perhaps for the World Cup at that point.
Yeah, I mean, Phil Neville's never shied away, if you like, from offering younger players opportunities. You look at players like, you know, Georgia Stanway, who's had a sensational season with City. Players like Beth Mead, Leah Williamson as well. Mm-hmm. You know, the young players are really going to be pushing for those last few spots, if you like. But, you know, I think Phil Neville seems to be a coach who believes in, you know, if you're playing well, you're in the side. So, you know, I don't think, you know, if it's 23 players what they take out there, I don't think those 23 players are taken yet. I think there'll be a fair few still up for grabs.
I mean, we've all got our opinions on who we think we should going out to France, and it seems that, you know, there's been quite a few debates about it on social media as to who people think should be there and who people shouldn't be and things like that. Don't worry, Dan, I'm not going to ask you who I think, you know, who should be named or anything like that. But
yeah,
it just reflects, though, on the quality that we have to choose from in terms of player selections. And
I think that's it. And I think, you know, you know, maybe in the men's game, you know, with the evolution of the Premier League, obviously we saw a lot of foreign players come over, and, you know, maybe the England men's side, you know, haven't really kicked on, obviously, until St George's Park has come about and they've benefited from better facilities, you know, and they've tried different things to field more young men's players in the game. And, you know, obviously they did well at the Men's World Cup last summer. A little bit similar in the women's game where, you know, we're getting a lot of foreign talent coming over here now. But, you know, generally, I think maybe the young English players are maybe benefiting from that a little bit. Obviously, we don't want to get to the point where we're playing a full 11 full of foreign players, but, you know, they seem to be benefiting from the world-class players which are coming to England.
Yeah. We're lucky to have, like I said, such a good pool of players there, talented players from youth to, as you said, experience. Phil Neville will probably be looking to find some sort of balance, though, between that. I mean, hopefully see the experience, some experienced players there, but with that balance of youth as well, it would be great to see players like Georgia Stanway called up as well.
Yeah, I think he's got to be careful, really, because what we don't want is we don't want same old England. But I think there are good, I mean, players like Farah Williams, for example, spring to mind, who, you know, despite her age and, you know, she's got obviously an awful lot of experience, but, you know, week in, week out, still at her age now, she seems to be doing it at the, you know, at the very top level.
Yeah.
You know, and again, as an attacking player, there's so much which they can learn from players like Farah, but I think it is important that you do get a fair few youngsters in, because you don't want it to be stale, and, you know, you don't want to have constant reminders of past failures, really.
Mm-hmm. And I think you can see that, though, in the 12 months that he has been appointed, is that he has given those players their debuts, their starts in the senior squad. I think it was something like 11 or something like that I'd seen today on Twitter.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, and again, we saw it at the under-20s in the summer, I think the youth setup, you know, within the Football Association and obviously England, people like Mo Marley doing a fantastic job, you know, that the pool of youth players and the youth development seems to be just about, you know, as good as they can be in the world. But it's, you know, when those young players take to the field, are they going to take England up the next level? You know, there's plenty of potential there. And, you know, undoubtedly, there's going to be some world-class players developing. But, you know, I suppose, you know, you can only do the talking in the big tournaments. So, you know, it's really important that if some young players do get their opportunities this summer, that, you know, particularly with it being only in France, you know, to grab it with two hands, really.
Right, so we turn our attention back to the WSL then this weekend. Quite a few important games this weekend, really. Obviously, halfway through the season now and reflecting back on the season so far, it's took a bit of a turn, really, halfway through. Where at the beginning, Arsenal's form and how they were performing, you know, a lot of people were talking about Arsenal and how they got the potential to win the league there. But now it's sort of opened back up. Manchester City on top of the table, Chelsea relentless in their few results, showing their form. It's got pretty exciting, hasn't it?
Yeah, I look at it and I think, you know, how many easy games are there now at this level? There's not that many. And, you know, part of it's probably down to it going full-time. You know, as I mentioned about the foreign players, I think they've certainly took the game up another level. The coaches, you know, people like Nick Cushing, Emma Hayes, Joe Montemurro, you know, they've took it really up to the next level. But, you know, Arsenal looked like they weren't going to get stopped. And then, obviously, Chelsea have improved throughout the season. You know, they hadn't conceded for a number of games, and they went to Arsenal and got the result, which now, obviously, with City having to go there later in the season, that now gives them a little bit of belief that, you know, going to Arsenal and beating them on their own patch is doable. But, I mean, just to even just look at this weekend's fixtures, I mean, you know, Arsenal going to Reading. Reading are by no means easy opponents. You know, they're well organised, they've got a hard-working manager, they've got a good mix of youth and experience. You know, Chelsea at home to Birmingham. Birmingham, obviously, under a new coach now, so they'll have a lot to prove. The players, they'll be well organised, I'm sure, for that game. They'll be up to, you know, to causing a shock. And even City playing Brighton at home, you know, Brighton have come on in leaps and bounds in recent weeks. And the position they are now in, you know, they don't have to look below them. They can start enjoying the football, and that's probably what's happened over the last couple of weeks, you know, prior to the break. So, you know, I don't think you can take any game easy. You know, I'd probably have to favour City, to be honest, if they can get a decent result at Arsenal, and as long as there's no little slip-ups along the way. But, you know, there's, I mean, City will be looking at that this weekend and they'll be thinking, you know, if they can put Brighton away, you know, there's a chance that the other two could drop points. You know, it's unlikely that both will, but, you know, the title's really there now for who performs well in these last, you know, 8 or 9 games.
At this point for Man City last season, and obviously our performance is certainly took a bit of a dip towards the end of last season. So I think it's all about, for us, consistency. Being that ruthless and taking our chances, whereas sort of last season we kind of felt that we didn't take them as well when they came, and we weren't, perhaps we became a little bit too predictable, I think.
It's a funny one really, because, you know, obviously Chelsea, the champions, they had a dodgy start, obviously they struggled to score goals, and, you know, the form they're in, you'd kind of say, you know, they've probably got the best form of the three. But it's a funny one, because I think Chelsea might just be a little bit too far behind. You'd presume that the three sides will all slip up between now and the end of the season. But, you know, for me, Chelsea might just be a little bit too far behind. They might have left themselves with a bit too much to do in terms of how many points they're able to drop.
I think you could see just how much it meant to Chelsea and Emma Hayes and the team after their result, after that big win for them against Arsenal, the passion and what it meant to the players and the fans as well. It was a huge result. And perhaps when we were kind of like, we got eyes on the game, but we only managed to watch the first half because at that point we were at Rush Green and obviously preparing for the West Ham game. And every time the updates were coming through, it was just like, it was great. Do you know what I mean? Because it was obviously giving us that little bit of hope, you know, to see Arsenal drop the points. But yeah, it's really exciting, you know, as a fan, you know, that's, you're in contention and, you know, you want to win the league, but it obviously has all the feels of last year as well, last season as well, in the fact that, you know, we've been here before and things can change, and you know what I mean. It's crazy.
It's a funny one, because obviously City, like Chelsea, they had a little bit of a wobble at the start. A couple of results, maybe, which you wouldn't expect them to drop points. Obviously, they had the Champions League misfortune as well, which was a little bit of a shock, although, albeit, you know, they went out to probably, you know, the worst opponents, really, yeah, which they could have drawn, you know, at that stage of the competition. But, you know, maybe they're stronger for those experiences at the start of the season. They're stronger for last season. You know, and to me, the young players are getting better and better. You know, players like, I mean, Stanway has been superb. Paris has been superb. Mm-hmm. You know, if Paris has a really good summer in France, Manchester City could be fighting off some of, you know, the likes of Lyon again for their services. You know, let's hope that maybe doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. I never like to see English players go abroad. But, you know, the talent which Manchester City have got, you know, in terms of young players, you know, they're just getting better and better, and they're full of confidence as well.
Nikita Paris, for me, like, it's like you just said there, I mean, I love her hunger, I love her fight, I love she doesn't give up, she's always fighting for the ball. I love her mentality, the way she applies herself to her games. She's incredible. And like you said, Georgia Stanway there, just coming into her own this season. I mean, we knew that she'd got a very special talent, but it's just great to see that, you know, the WSL has had opportunity just to see how great she is in front of goal.
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, with Paris, I mean, a lot of people say to me, obviously following women's football, they say, you know, they compare it to the men's, and I don't know if I've said this before, but there's a lot of comparisons made, and, you know, people can kind of say, oh, you know, they compare the similarities, but they also compare how different they are. But, you know, if you're talking about the quality of player and a player with skill, you know, if you look at Nikita Paris as an all-round talent, you know, if you're comparing the women's game to the men's game, you know, if you look at Nikita and you say that she's not the type of player, you know, who you would pay to see week in, week out if you were watching, you know, the men's game, in terms of a player with every trick up her sleeve, you know, then, you know, to me she's just, you know, if we start to see top-class players in this country and we start to see the game, you know, get stronger and stronger, you know, she's at the very front of that. And, you know, obviously Georgia Stanway, Lauren Hemp's going to come on really well, I think. You know, the future is very bright at the Academy Stadium.
Yeah, I agree with you. In terms of obviously looking at the rest of the season then, it's hard to predict at this point who you think could possibly win it. Hopefully, non-biased view, but hopefully it's City, obviously.
I think there's a good chance.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be great. I mean, it'd be great if we could come away with something this season. I think, you know, we've been fairly consistent. I mean, in terms of our results, I mean, our last defeat, like you said, was against Atletico, where we got knocked out of the Champions League. So, you know, I think we've been fairly consistent all season, you know, still undefeated. I think Chelsea, like you said, is going to prove a big test for us, especially obviously meeting them in the Conte Cup semi-final and then again in the WSL, so like twice in a week.
I mean, you're going to be sick of the sight of each other.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they're going to be such difficult tests because, you know, the two form sides, if you like. I mean, I know you've got to keep Arsenal in there, but, you know, there's very, very little to split between the top three. It's fine margins, really. But, you know, in terms of Chelsea and City, you know, whoever wins those games, I mean, the first thing is, you know, the Conte Cup, you've got to look at it and think, you know, with the league, with the FA Cup coming into it, particularly Chelsea as well with the Champions League, you know, how much do they want that Conte Cup final? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a tough one. How are you going to weigh it up? And with squad size, obviously, I think Chelsea's squad's probably got a bit more depth than City. Maybe by no means quality, but you know, it's going to be tough how they juggle that one. But you've got to think whoever gets a bit of a one up from those two games, you know, it's going to breed that little bit more confidence for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Busy time. Certainly, well, I hope, you know, we're ready for what's to come, basically, because it is going to be a very busy few weeks and we need to be on our game, City, and we certainly need to get those results. Brighton, like you said there, after our last meeting at the Academy Stadium in the Conte Cup, with obviously us getting that big result, 7-1, you kind of feel that Brighton all want to come back to the Academy Stadium, part
of
the bus.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So,
in the nicest possible way, I just don't. I think, you know, when the pressure's on at the bottom and you haven't won away from home all season, you know, you've maybe only picked the one win up at the time. You know, that just a couple of positive results, I think they can just start to enjoy the football a bit and look forward to the summer and obviously pushing on a bit next year. But 9 times out of 10, you'd expect City to win that game, let's be fair, with the talent they've got. But it's just the level we're now at that, you know, you've got to look at it and every game's got to be taken seriously.
So having the likes of Brighton and West Ham then in the WSL after the restructure, do you think it has worked? Do you think it has done the league good?
I think there's lots of factors into it. I mean, there's the full-time aspect, which obviously the bottom end of the table, if you like, obviously there's a lot of Yeovil Town players who've, you know, had that opportunity to study and play football. You know, I think you know, it seems like there's young players getting debuts for them every week, which can only be good for the game in the long term. But, you know, West Ham have obviously invested heavily. I think they're over budget going by, you know, the recent documentary. It seems like they've gone quite a lot over budget. They've spent a lot more than what they thought it would cost. Mm-hmm. Brighton is probably more of a long-term work in progress, if you like, in terms of personnel. Whereas, you know, West Ham have kind of gone to sign a lot of star players early on. I think Brighton, there might be a little bit more an in-house development. You know, they might be piecing things together a little bit more slowly. But, you know, I mean, even West Ham, you look at where they are now and you look at the type of competition they're going to offer next year, bearing in mind that they've had a lot of injuries this year. Obviously, you know, your former player as well has obviously missed an awful lot of football at West Ham this season.
I believe she's back in training, though, I think.
Yeah, they are starting to get a few players back, but it just seems they get two back and they lose one. But, you know, it's a hard one to measure with West Ham, but obviously they had such a good December that, you know, you've got to feel that another summer of recruitment, you know, that they're in this for the long term, I think, which is good because it's going to add another competitor. But it just sort of cranks up and the pressure on, you know, the likes of Nick Cushing, I suppose, that, you know, it's very much a full-time game and a full-time environment now. You know, I'm sure he'll be looking for players for next season already. You know, because, you know, if the likes of West Ham lift it, City have got to lift it again. And, you know, it's good in terms of the fact that if they're in the Champions League, you know, next year again, you'd hope that they'll be pushing on a little bit further.
Yeah.
You know, towards being finally having an English side in the final.
Just obviously mentioned there about the WSL, but what about the Championship? Do you think we'll see Manchester United in the WSL next season?
I think there's two places, isn't there, for promotion?
Is it two?
I think there's two. I might be wrong. I think they're knocking it up to 12 teams next year. So
oh, right, okay.
Go down. I know it's a subject really which hasn't been spoken about an awful lot, but I believe there's two places up and one down, which will take it to 12. And I think it might be similar for the second tier as well. So obviously Millwall look like the side, you know, obviously they've had an awful lot of young players in at short notice. They were so good last year. Obviously Lee Birch moved on. A lot of the players moved on after they had a few financial problems. Whole new squad have come in. They're very young. So I believe that one goes down out of that league. And I believe that there'll be two goes up, obviously, if they take the option to go full-time, which Manchester United are. Which then begs the question that is, if it is two up, it's who goes up with them. Obviously, Durham, I rate Durham, being my local club,
yeah,
really highly. There's a little bit of favouritism there, not an awful lot.
That's all right. You can have it, Dan.
I look at the fixtures and, you know, obviously the Charlton-Manchester United game recently was postponed due to that serious injury, but
yeah.
Charlton don't like me saying it to, you know, put any pressure on at all, but, you know, I look at the way round they've got their fixtures and I think they've got home games against the top sides. You know, I know there's no easy games in that level neither, but you'd maybe fancy them if anybody's going to push with it. You know, I think they'll be strong as well. But, you know, again, it's a competitive division. There's been some shock results in there this year. Without even mentioning Durham beating Manchester United, there seems to be shocks every week. There's a lot of good players at that level. So, you know, it's been really competitive to be just, you know, 3 or 4 points between first and fourth at this stage of the season, given the fact that you've got a full-time team in there, is, you know, really, really good to see.
Let's just have a quick little chat about the mag then.
Yep.
Issue 6 is out at the moment. Taking pre-orders. Pre-orders for issue 7. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what's in issue 6?
Yeah, so issue 6, we've got the behind the scenes look at the West Ham United documentary, which is really good. We've caught up with their owner, Jack Sullivan. You know, he's given us a really good interview, so that's well worth a read. We've got an interview with Yeovil Town goalkeeper Megan Walsh, who is obviously performing really well at the minute. And we've got the news, obviously, from all the clubs as well. £3.250 to Man City members. And there's lots of copies left. There's a few issue 5s as well, and they'll be on sale at the Academy Stadium on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right.
Anybody just wanting to buy them independently, if you go to our Twitter page, you know, and that'll give you details on there to pay via PayPal, or if you get in touch with myself, you can pay by bank transfer. Issue 7, we're looking for to do an interview with Hedvig Lindahl over her charity. We've got a couple of other things in the pipeline as well, but if you'd like to pre-order that issue, again, either you can get it from the guys at Man City, official Women's Supporters Club, you know, from the matches, or again, if you visit our Twitter page, we can sort you out.
Yeah, it's good because obviously we've got a good few home games now, so you'd definitely be able to pick up those copies as well, because we had a bit of a long break when we could get their magazines.
Winter wasn't too kind,
not in terms of fixtures for City, no. So, they'll be on sale at the match on Sunday, which is great. So, we did put out to see if anybody got any questions, and we did have one off Jude. She said, firstly, she wanted to say that she loves the magazine, it's a great publication, and just to keep on doing what you're doing, because she was really enjoying it. And she'd like to know, what has been your biggest lesson since starting the magazine, and what have you learnt, and what would you do differently?
Oh, that's a tough one.
I know, put you on the spot
sorry. I mean, the first thing is that I'd like to get around everybody, I'd like to get around all the clubs, and obviously, you know, obviously limited fixtures compared to men's games. You know, Sundays aren't always the easiest days to travel neither. So the regret maybe would be that I can't get round to all the clubs as quickly as I'd like. Saying that, there's an awful lot of people who support us from an awful lot of clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too many people to thank, really. So, you know, I'm always, you know, so thankful for all your support. Obviously, Manchester City, you know, and beyond, really. Chelsea do well with us, their women's supporters group. Some of the Birmingham City guys Eye magazines from us, which is great. Yeovil Town, you know, there's fans there, so it's been a great response. If I had to do it again from the start, maybe have a website up and running, if I had to do that. Obviously, we've got that coming. That was the next step.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe it's just, you know, spreading the word. Sometimes it's difficult when you start from scratch, you know, to get established, if you like. And that's probably been our biggest challenge, you know, if we had a website running alongside it. You know, it maybe raise awareness a little bit and make it a little bit easier for fans to buy the magazine as well. So, you know, that's maybe what we've learned. But I think we launched at the right time in terms of the full-time tier one starting, if you like. We had to go in August, but, you know, hopefully we're getting better and better and, you know, fans are seeing that in the magazine.
Yeah. I mean, you can obviously see from how big your following has grown. From obviously we've been following you since the beginning, but how big it's become and the engagement and the interaction that you have with fans and different supporters groups and everyone getting involved, and obviously, like you said, announcing getting the One Goal Org on board with it as well, which is really great. We spoke to them last year and we like what they're doing in terms of obviously giving back to the game across all levels, so that's really good as well.
Yeah, I mean, we need to get as many supporters groups, as many organisations, whether that be charities or organisations within the women's game, on board. We're always looking for people to help. We're always looking for ideas. Obviously, we do our team of the weekend. We do match polls on a Friday. But, you know, if people have any ideas or anything which they'd like to see in a magazine or on social media, then, you know, please get in touch and let us know, because, you know, we want to make it as varied as possible. We obviously want to come up with new things which haven't been covered before. You know, obviously the team of the weekend's been hugely popular. We've had a lot of feedback from players saying how delighted they've been to be included in the team, particularly some from the second tier. And, you know, that's how we've become recognisable with them, really. So, you know, and it's helping. You know, it's giving young footballers that little bit of a boost, if you like. You know, but maybe in a different way to, you know, how a manager or a coach would give them. So, you know, it's done really well, that.
Really good. Thanks for talking to me today, Dan. I'm sorry I've kept you for so long. I said to you for like 15, 20 minutes. It's been like 40 minutes. But it's always great to speak to you. I've really enjoyed it. Have a great weekend. Are you going to be at any games this weekend or?
Not this weekend, but I'm looking at the FA Cup weekend, hopefully weather permitting. Obviously, we've had a bit of cold weather, so,
yeah.
You know, I'm hoping that clears up and we get as many ties on as possible next weekend. And, you know, it might be that I have a look and see if I can find a cup shock along the way.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy one. Isn't it?
Yeah, it's an awful lot of ties. I think I don't know if it's the last 32 stage.
Yeah, last
32. Yeah. So there's lots of ties there. Obviously, what we don't want is the whole load called off and then having to fit them in.
Hopefully not.
Around the league fixtures, really. So I think, again, that'll build in excitement. Obviously, the first couple of rounds, there's sometimes some big scores in there. But, you know, as it goes on, you know, as we get in the quarterfinals, I'm sure it'll get exciting and hopefully we'll have some big clubs in there.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Dan. Well, hopefully I'll catch up again with you soon. Take care and all the best.
Yep. Cheers, Emmett. Thanks.
Cheers, Dan. Thanks.
Bye.
Something new for you then this week. This is our first feature of a new segment called Meet the Fans. And this week I spoke to Paul Clark, who's a Manchester City women fan. He regularly attends the games at the academy along with his daughter. Hi, Paul. Thanks for talking to me today. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Thank you for coming on the podcast. And this is a new feature that we're going to be doing. It's called Meet the Fans. Would you like to just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name's Paul Clark. I'm 53. I live in Hebden Bridge. I'm a media manager for a charity, a day job. I'm a lifelong Blue. I'm a season ticket holder over the Etihad. And more recently, I've become a regular watching the women's team over in the EDF Stadium.
Great. So just tell us then a little bit about how you came to support Manchester City and started to go along to the games.
Well, basically, I took my daughter, who's now 14, to a home men's game at the Etihad, and she was about 11 at the time, and unfortunately, I'm a season ticket holder, but unfortunately I had to move my seat so I could sit with another part of the stadium, and when we got there, unfortunately the bloke behind us was incredibly aggressive, swearing in the worst possible, using the worst possible words, right behind us, and he just did that for 90 minutes. And at the end of it, she said, "Dad, I don't want to come in again. It's really upset me."
Oh,
and I didn't want not to be a Blue. So I said, well, why don't we just try and go and try the women's game? You know, go support the women. women's team across the road because I think there'd be a different atmosphere. So
yeah.
That's how we decided to go over to the EDS.
So can you remember what the first match was that you went along to see?
I've got the program right in front of me. It was Manchester City versus Doncaster Bells. It was it was an interesting game because obviously the Bells are a legendary women's football team, but at that time they were playing pretty much as a part-time outfit, and unfortunately they came unstuck against Manchester City Women, who were at that time are still our full-time squad, and we ran out as 4-1 winners. There was 1,153 people on the ground, and the player of the match was Jennifer Beatley.
Right, okay. So during your time of obviously following the women, what's been your favourite memory?
Well, that's easy. It's going to the FA Cup final at Wembley. I've never been to Wembley before, the new Wembley. Obviously, my daughter, who was 12 at the time, had never been to Wembley. So it was a full experience. We got on the coach early on in the day. We travelled down to Wembley. We had a walk on the ground. We soaked up the atmosphere. We had a good chance of winning before because obviously we played Birmingham, who at that time were as good as they are now. You know, there was nearly, I think it was 40,000 people on in Wembley, which is a record crowd for any FA Cup final. Obviously, we won the game quite easily. So we got the full experience, the travel, the goals, the atmosphere. We were sat with all the City fans at one end of the ground, kicking up a massive noise. The team played well, and we won easily. So that's easily the best memory for us because it encapsulates everything that's good about women's football.
Yeah. So you're hoping for us to replicate that then maybe this season?
Well, I'm hoping so. The harsh horrible reality is that the standard in the league has jumped up considerably. I mean, obviously you've got the big players like Chelsea and Arsenal and City that bounce by the big clubs, but from a fan's point of view, it's really encouraging to see the likes of Birmingham, Bristol and Liverpool starting to come into their own, West Ham as well. Starting to really, be very competitive compared to the so-called big teams like City and Chelsea. So yeah. I think we've got a good chance of making the final. I think our squad's starting to play well and strong, but it's not guaranteed now. And I think it's going to be a tough challenge to even get to the County Cup final. Playing Chelsea in good form at the moment as well.
Yeah, definitely. It is going to be tough, and obviously a bounce there of two fixtures really against Chelsea. So the one in the County Cup and then the one in the WSL as well. So both could be quite big fixtures for City.
Well, I think so. I mean, the reality is, I think we'll go to the County Cup final if City get through. It's down at Sheffield, so it's an easy drive down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be a tough game. And if we don't beat Chelsea, got to beat Chelsea in the WSL, or we're not going to win the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's quite a long shot anyway. But we've got to win that game. We've got to beat Arsenal in the last game of the season. Otherwise, we're going to come second or third.
Yeah. So who's your favourite player then, and why? And who's your daughter's favourite player as well?
I think my favourite player is Steph Horton. And the reason I say that, it's just an obvious choice, isn't it? But I think she embodies everything that's good about women's professional football. Her career started when women were part-time and amateurs. She suffered a serious leg injury very early on in the career, missed a World Cup. She's come back from that. I think she leads by example. I think she shows that team how to act in a professional manner. I think she remembers the time when she was probably doing a day job and then training in the evening. So she's not letting the younger players who've grown up in the professional environment get away from anything. But, you don't win 100 caps for your country if you're a mug player. And she's an outstanding, central defender, classic in the classic City mould of being able to play football and play out from the back. I think my daughter's favourite player is probably at the moment Georgia Stanway.
Mm-hmm.
She's seen her come through the junior ranks into the senior squad, and I think she recognises that if Georgia continues on the trajectory she's on, there's every chance that Georgia Stanway will win 100 caps for England as well. She's clearly the outstanding young player of her generation for England, amongst, I have to say, a very good crop of young players coming through.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, a very bright future in terms of obviously City, hopefully going forward, and obviously internationally as well. It's very exciting.
It's it's absolutely brilliant. I mean, you know, one of the things that attracted me as a lifelong fan of men's football was that the way the women conducted themselves and played so well in the last World Cup, coming third, including a lot of City players in that squad. And I think, you know, we've now got the World Cup coming up this year. I'm not sure we're going to win it, but I think we could quite easily get to the semi-finals and possibly even to the final. That would make a massive difference to the game in this country.
Yeah.
I think City's got some very exciting young players coming through. They've been getting rid of some of the deadwood around the squad over the last few weeks, which I think is encouraging. You know, Nick Hushing clearly is committed to giving young players a chance. I mean, look at Ellie Roebuck. You know, she's keeping out, you know, England's form number one. George Stanway is a regular now. Kira Walsh, you know, all of those young women are playing at the highest level. And in fairness, you know, some of our players are getting towards the end of their career, so we do need that progression. But I think there's a really good blend now of experience and youth within the squad, which I think will bode well for next season.
Yeah, I agree with that. You've probably seen quite a good handful of goals over the time following the women. So what has been your all-time favourite goal, the one that stands out the most?
I think it was a recent one. It was again Georgia Stanway, where she just danced in the last home game, where she just danced down the line and then cut inside, flipped it from 1 foot and slipped it past the keeper and won the game. You know, it's just a beautiful piece of football. And you know, it wasn't one of those, you know, she banged him in for 30 yards, but it was just that anticipation to rob the keeper, go around her, flick it from foot to foot and knock it in the bottom corner. You know, you won't see a better goal in any league, male or female, this season, I would say.
So on match days then, when we're playing at the academy, how do you prepare for match days and how do you get ready for the games?
Well, we live in Hebden Bridge in West Yorkshire, so it's about a 50-minute drive into the ground, so we like to leave early. Like a lot of fans, we usually end up in the Asda, Eastlands. You know, it's wall-to-wall sky blue on match day. You know, get our breakfast there, if it's an early kick-off or an early lunch. And then we try and get in the ground pretty early because the queuing system at the ground is still pretty rope-y, to be frank. You know, they could do with making that a bit quicker, especially on big matches like the Arsenal game, where there's a massive queue. So we'd like to get in there. Let's sort the atmosphere up. You know, it's a really family-friendly, really pleasant, really non-threatening atmosphere. You know, in the Arsenal game, I think there's nearly 3,500 people on. You know, it's good-natured, singing and chanting between the two fans, which you don't always get in the men's game. And, you know, so, you know, we like to get in at least half an hour before. And we like to take advantage of the free drinks offer that's on at the moment as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just making sure that we get there plenty of time, making sure we get there early, do the warm-up. And sometimes you stay after the game and, you know, to go down Signing Alley and get the programme signed. So, you know, it's a pretty standard way of doing it. And we like to have a nice relaxed afternoon out.
Yeah. So what are your hopes then for the rest of the season?
Well, my hope is that we'll reach the Conti Cup final, because I think that's an important trophy to win. It's, you know, it's a bit like the League Cup in the women's game, but nonetheless, it's an important trophy.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, you want to pick any piece of silverware up. I'd like to see us win the league, but I think that's going to be a long shot, because I think we've just not quite got enough points in the bag. You know, 42 points away really against Bristol wasn't, you know, probably was the end of the, you know, cash answers, I think, this season, because Arsenal were just a really good team. And I hope that we'll have a good win in the FA Cup. And then I hope that that will set us up nicely for next season, a bit of tinkering in the squad. And then we could push on and try and take the league title back, which I think, you know, if looking at that squad, it's certainly good enough, but probably just need two or three extra key players just to give the squad a bit of depth, particularly in the Champions League, where we didn't do ourselves any justice this season at all.
All right, Paul, it's been really nice speaking to you, and thank you for coming on. You're on Twitter, aren't you? Where can people find you so they know who you are?
I'm on my Twitter is LS1Hat. That's LS1Hat, HATK. And, you know, I do tweet with the official supporters club and put my views out there. And I think, you know, it's incredible, the amount of interest, I think, in the women's game. Since the time I've been coming along to it, and long may it continue.
Definitely. Well, thanks again, Paul, and it was really great to speak to you, and hopefully see you at the games.
Yeah, and good luck with the podcast.
Thank you very much. This weekend then, we're back at it at the Academy Stadium as we welcome Brighton and Hove Albion in our WSL fixture this Sunday. Kickoff is 2 p.m. Tickets will be available on the day, and as usual, there'll be plenty of activities for the kids in the build-up to kickoff. There'll also be Autograph Alley at the end of the game. We asked you for your predictions ahead of the game on Sunday. Janet going for 5-0, with Georgia Stanway scoring a hat-trick. Weir and Emsley both contributing as well. 4-0 from Dave, Kath and Jude. And without football, life is boring, saying 3-0, a comfortable team performance. All I hope is that it's not too foggy this time round. I want to watch the game properly. I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. Thank you to Dan again for joining me on this week's show. Have a great week, everyone, and we'll be back next Friday.